Matt Reister, Executive Director for Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Thanks for your interest in this episode of Homer Larson Live, which is a series of sermons preached live by Pastor Homer Larson, who served as senior pastor at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa from 1953 to 1996. I'd also like to say thanks to Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry for sponsoring the Homer Larson Live series. You'll have a chance to learn more about their organization and ministry during the announcements at the end of this sermon. And one more thing before we get into it. The Homer Larson Live series does not exist primarily to raise up a man, but rather to raise up the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word, which the Lord gifted and used the man, Pastor Homer Larson, to communicate clearly and passionately. We pray that you will be inspired. We hope that this will help raise the bar around preaching for everyone who listens, and we trust that God will accomplish his purposes through the message you're about to hear. I'll talk to you afterwards. Thanks again for finding us and making this a priority.
Friends in Christ, we have been to the graduation of our grandchildren, granddaughter, I better say, just one. That's not unusual. I speak to many of you today who have attended the graduation of a child, or if you're old as we are, your grandchild, probably. It was a nice event. It was somewhat emotional, thrilling, frustrating, sometimes astonishing. Typical graduation. The orchestra played pomp and circumstance. The choir sang a song that was written by someone on the faculty. A local clergyman, that surprised me, a local clergyman stood up and gave the invocation and the benediction. Two students from the class gave short but very good talks. Those graduating with honors received special recognition. The superintendent of schools said some good words to the class. And while all of this was going on, something that blows my mind was taking place. You know what it is. Some kids were bouncing a beach ball all over the class. They were blowing bubbles. And some had a new instrument. I'm sure that it was manufactured just for that reason, that you'd pull the trigger and the water would shoot out and take with it paper, and they threw paper all over that class. When the young people rose to go out and get their diploma, I thought they acted very nicely, but the parents and the friends who had come to witness the graduation acted like complete idiots. They hollered and shouted, and some of the things they hollered were rather obscene. By this time, I turned to a complete stranger and said, "I can't understand this." And he looked at me and laughed, and he said, "Your gray hair is showing. Don't you realize that commencements today are only the beginning of the party? And we have to take them as they are." I doubt if I'll ever make that adjustment, but I probably won't go to too many graduation ceremonies after that either. To me, it's the height of ridiculousness, but be that as it may, it was nice to be there. I sat in the audience, and obviously at times I was emotional. But then there was something about that graduation ceremony that really was bothersome to me. The chairperson of the school board gave a lengthy address. The ceremony took over an hour and a half, gave a lengthy address to the graduates as she cited to them at least a dozen maxims. Now, I had gone into that graduation ceremony with a text for today in the back of my mind. A minister is most always working with some text at any given time. I knew that I was going to preach, God willing, to you on this day, and the text that Pastor Colfett has read for us this morning was the one that I was very familiar with. I had read it in the English and a lot of commentaries. I had read it in the Greek. I thought I understood, and I know I understood what Jesus was saying, but how was I going to make that application to the congregation on this 14th day of June? And to me, that's the secret of preaching. That text has got to come alive. And I could not find anything that seemed to open it up until that woman, and I'm sure she was a nice lady, stood up as a chairperson of the Board of Education and began to give those maxims to the congregation, to the class. The more she talked, the more bothered I was. What was it? There were times that I wanted to get out of my seat and say, "Hey, lady, there's something wrong here." It wasn't what she said. It was what she didn't say. She was delivering 12 half-truths. And half-truths are not adequate. The thing that bothered me was, as this thing went along, most of us live our lives on half-truths. We don't live with the full truth in many, many cases. For unless we live with the Word of God, we only have a half a truth. Now, how did the Spirit open up that text to me in that commencement ceremony? Just this one part of the text. Jesus is speaking and he said, "The Spirit will take what is mine and make it known to you." There are certain limitations that the mind has. We can understand many things, but we are to some extent limited. So what Jesus is saying, when the Holy Spirit comes and he's here, he takes this Word of God and he takes it out of its setting, and he said, "This is not only beautiful poetry and dogma, but these are living truths that will control and govern your life. It will shape your life." And I didn't like what I heard from that woman, because they were only half-truths. I want to give you three of them this morning. Now, number one, this woman said, number one, "I know where I have been. I know where I am. I don't have the foggiest idea of where I am going." There's a lot of truth in that. Everyone here this morning can say, "Well, I know where I've been." You know where you are. You know the circumstances that surround your life, the joys, the sorrows, and everything else that goes along with it. You to some extent have to admit that you don't know what's exactly going to happen to you this afternoon or tomorrow. There is an interim period, that's right. It's a half a truth. But it isn't a full truth. For Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you, that where I am, there you will be also." You know what the full truth is? I've told you the half truth now. The full truth is, I know where I've been, I know where I am, and by the grace of God, I know where I'm going. Where am I going? I'm going to heaven, aren't you? Why? Because one by the name of Jesus came into this world and he loved you and me so much that he died at the cross of Calvary. He paid the price for our sins. He received us into fellowship with him when we would receive him by the grace of God. It's not just automatic. No, no. No, it isn't that we contribute by our receiving. That power is given to us by the Holy Spirit. But there comes a place where I say, empowered by the Spirit of God, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." When I say that, he is there. And he will be with me forever and ever. Therefore, I don't have to sit and say, "I don't know where I'm going." I tell you, I could hardly hold on to my seat in that stadium. I couldn't. I wanted to go up and say to that lady, "Tell these dear kids that they can know where they're going." Yet how often do we not live with a half-truth? You see, we can read that passage that I quoted to you from John 14, and many of us have, but it isn't until the Spirit takes that passage and delivers it out of the Bible and into our hearts that we know beyond all doubt that Jesus is ours and the heavenly home is ours. Don't tell me that doesn't shape the way you live. I'll come back to it in a moment. Maximum number two, learn to love yourself. That's good advice. God loves us. We ought to love ourselves. We're sick when we don't love ourselves. That doesn't mean that I love everything that I do. There are a lot of things in my life that I don't like. I hate. But I better love myself. But that's only a half a truth. You know what Jesus said, don't you? Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, love yourself, love God, and love your neighbor. There's a lot of self-love around, and when it's just love of self and God and your neighbor are forgotten, then you're filled with selfishness. Then it's self-centeredness. Then the big question is, what's in it for me? What is good for me? See how we live with half-truths? But when we get the full truth, to love God and to love our fellow men, then we got the whole truth. Then the question is not, what's in it for me? But how can I love you? What can I do for you? Then it is not that I simply have to be the recipient of your kindness, but I have to be kind to you. That I not only want you to be sensitive to my needs, but I had better be sensitive to your needs. That I not only ask you to forgive me when I wrong, but that I'm anxious to reach out and forgive you. What a world, huh? What a world. When we live with a full truth, half-truths are not adequate. Thirdly, the lady said, well, life is going to be hard for you, going to be rough. So prepare yourself to meet the difficult hours of the day. Now, you're right. I think that there are a lot more good hours than there are bad ones. But there are bad hours. There are tough times. We live with them. We experience them as one with the other. But I can't prepare myself for them. There's no way. And I've been around this congregation long enough to know you can't either. It goes beyond us. I tell you, I've referred to it so often, it stands out as one of the most hideous experiences I've ever had. To walk the Cedar River on a cold winter Saturday afternoon or Sunday, and a little body has walked into that river. I'll never forget that. Could you say to those parents, prepare for this? It's a hard knock. No. You could only say, trust in the Lord. That's the full truth. Our Lord did not try to shield us from the difficulties that would come, but our Lord said this, I am with you. That's the full truth. The half truth is, it's going to be tough. The full truth is, it's going to be tough, but I'm right there by you. Doesn't that make a difference? But we live with half-truths as far as that is concerned. Listen to St. Paul. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. That's a promise. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out, so that you can stand under it. May I go back to the graduation ceremony and just refer to our granddaughter, Leah. And what I say about her, certainly I'm just trying to get into your heart as you dig out your same experience. When she walked across that stage, and her father, who happens to be a member of the Board of Education, handed her the diploma. She reached out and she hugged him. And he hugged her. And the sentimental old grandpa in the stand pulled out his handkerchief and cried. What in the world had happened 18 years ago? I remember when they changed her diapers. Her father and mother were away at some medical convention, and Eunice and I were taking care of her when she took her first step. I always thought they got cheated. I saw the first step. And now she was walking across the stage to get her diploma. In a few weeks, and again, I make the application to your child as well, she'll be a student, God willing, at the University of Wisconsin, 40,000 students. Iowa State, University of Iowa, University of Minnesota, they're all the same, give or take a few thousand. Who will reach out for Leah? Her dad won't be there, nor her mother. She will be another number. Who will be there when there is temptation, with a drug culture, with alcohol, with illegitimate sex, with those attacks on the faith, whether they be in the classroom, as today the faith is just kind of ignored, or the peer, when she awakens on a Sunday morning and thinks, I was raised in a home where I went to church on Sunday, and the roommate says, you're going to church? You're a grown person now, you've gone away from home, haven't you? Who'll be there? Now watch. I get afraid. I say, why didn't she go to St. Olaf where her father and mother went? Why didn't she go to Luther? Why didn't she go to Wartburg? Or better still, why didn't she go to a place where she was really protected? Wheaton. Why? Why was I afraid? Because I live with a half-truth. Something terrible may happen to Leah. Nothing has to happen to Leah. She doesn't go into the den of iniquity alone. And maybe those schools I have just mentioned will have the same temptations, huh? As the big university. No matter where they go, they don't go there alone. Jesus has said the full truth is, I go with you. I ate breakfast on Thursday morning with a dear old friend, Al Anderson. Al Anderson was in a seminary with me at St. Paul. And then one day he came by and said to a group of us who were close to him, I'm leaving the seminary. He went over to the University of Minnesota and got an MBA, and then he went to work for Augsburg Publishing Company. When he was but a young man, he was appointed the CEO of Augsburg and has been the manager of that great publishing house for, I think, 20, 25 years. As we sat eating breakfast together, he couldn't eat his scrambled eggs, couldn't eat his toast. And I said to him, you can't eat, Al. No, he said, if I'm at home and my wife fixes it, then I can. You see, he had a cancer of the throat. And he sat there with his water jug. He says, too dry. I can't get it down. Oh, he said, I know, Homer, I'm going to die. But he said, that's all right. I'm ready to meet my Creator. But he said, I just wish that I could have a few hours, just a few hours or few months or few years of my retirement to enjoy my family. You see, Al was living with a full truth. He would have shook his head at the woman who said, "And you don't know where you're going." Al knew where he's going, because the Spirit had taken the biblical truth and had made it a living, dynamic truth in his life with which he could live and die. Does that make any difference? The human mind can comprehend many truths, but there is a point where we're limited. What mind cannot understand, faith, empowered by the Holy Spirit, can comprehend. That's important, friend. Take that home with you. That is what Jesus meant. When he uttered these words, the Spirit will take what is mine and make it known to you. So, with the Holy Scriptures as God's revelation and the Holy Spirit as our counselor, we don't have to live with half-truths. They're not adequate. We can live with the full truth. Amen.
This has been Homer Larson Live, a series of sermons preached from the pulpit at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa, where Pastor Larson served from 1953 to 1996, and published by Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry, where Pastor Larson was a broadcast preacher from 1962 to 2013. In addition to this series, many of Pastor Larson's radio programs dating back to the early 2000s are archived on the CC Broadcast, which is available for free wherever you're listening to this. Besides the CC Broadcast, our weekly radio program, Christian Crusaders also hosts the CC Podcast, Daily Dose Devotions, where we've archived hundreds of devotions on our way through the entire Bible, and the CC Podcast Conversations, which includes dozens of inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. Please see the show notes for links to all these free resources or visit ccpodcasts.com for more information. We want to give a very special thanks to our series sponsor, Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry. Western Home Communities began in the early 1900s as, quote, the Western Old People's Home, quote, a home for the aged, started by the Evangelical Association in one of that denomination's western states, which happened to be Iowa, more specifically, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Since then, a second campus has been added with 150 acres for villas, independent and assisted living, and nursing communities. Today, Western Home Communities remains a charitable Christian service organization that assertively creates fulfilling lifestyles for those they serve. You can learn more at westernhomecommunities.org. Fresh Wind Ministry provides Christ-centered spiritual care and programming within the Western Home Communities. They focus on building trusting relationships with residents, staff, and their families. Chaplains visit, counsel, and walk alongside residents in all levels of care offered by Western Home Communities, including hospitalizations, crisis, and end-of-life care. Fresh Wind Worship has services in the Diamond Event Center every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., which can be viewed on Facebook and YouTube. For more information, visit westernhomecommunities.org/freshwind. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry is fully donor-funded. If you'd like to support our work, you can do so online at christiancrusaders.org or by mailing a check to Christian Crusaders, 7401 University Avenue, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Also, feel free to email us with questions or for more information about this episode or any of our other programs. You can send emails to info@christiancrusaders.org. Thanks for listening, and may God richly bless you.